Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Today, we have an especially Covfefe show. We discuss the difference between pussycat dolls and pussy hat dolls with the only two famous musicians in Hollywood who support President Trump, MAGA songwriter Joy Villa and former pussycat doll Kaia Jones. Then, Antonia Okafor joins the panel of deplorables to cover Harvard University's awarding a fellowship to transgender traitor Chelsea Manning, potential DACA deals between the White House, Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi, oh my, and the mailbag. But stick around to the end, because we're going full Covfefe in the last segment. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Michael Knowles Show. So Ben is on his way to Berkeley, I think like right now. He just left. All hell is breaking loose. The National Guard is being called in. Supplies are being helicoptered down into this war zone in Northern California. We wish Ben good luck. I hope he makes it back. Stay safe up there. And I hope you get to give your speech today. Moving on, I don't want to talk about any news today because I am so excited. We are joined today by Joy Villa and Kaia Jones. Joy, everyone will know Joy because famously you wore a Make America Great Again dress to the Grammy Awards last year.
That's right.
It was the best thing ever. I loved it. It was so gutsy, unbelievable. And Kaia Jones, you came out also as a Trump supporter, former pussycat doll. You left the pussycat dolls. We want to talk about that later. Mm-hmm. And you're also totally out with your MAGA right-wing spirit in Hollywood.
Now
that you're out, you'll never have careers again. No, that isn't true. That isn't true because after you wore the dress, your album shot up to number one.
Number one on all the charts. Billboard, Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, wherever fine music was sold, my album was number one on it. And my newest song, Make America Great Again, is number one on Amazon right now.
Your song, Make America Great Again, I don't know how I made it this long without hearing it. Do we have a clip of that? Can we play it?
Holding, you know, if we don't watch out,
I love it.
We could all go under and drown. Yeah, the future depends on us. So we gotta wake up, gotta shake it up now. And let's make America great.
We can come back twice. Oh my God.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yes.
We can still be the most happy to have that in the pocket.
I'm gonna check that out. Oh. American flag. It's just.
Yes, I want you at every concert I do from now on doing that.
Yeah, it's my Constitution lighter with the American flag. I love that song so much.
It's a good song. It's fun.
It's so fun. And
you know, I wrote it as a song of unity, you know, from the heart. I say we can be the hope of every hungry child. You know, where have we gone astray? And it's a message of, okay, we might be in dark times right now. Politically speaking, we're so divided in America. But we can move towards hope and unity. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we know that here on the right side.
Absolutely.
We know we're winning, and we're not tired of it.
We're winning everywhere. I mean, we're killing it on the internet. Obviously, the Trump fans basically shot your album to number one.
Oh, it's incredible.
The silent majority, they call it. And you, Kaia, you were signed at age 13, I think, by R. Kelly. Mm-hmm. And then you're signed at 16 by Capitol Records.
Yes.
Then you joined the Pussycat Dolls.
Yes.
This is a huge, you are as mainstream, as big as it gets from a very early age, but you're a conservative.
Yeah.
Did that have anything to do with why you left the Pussycat Dolls?
Big time. Just a lot of the things that went on in behind the scenes. It wasn't that we were, you know, a sexual, like, young girls, you know, because we would wear, like, little skirts and be you know, provocative, but I mean, we're 17, 18, 19, 20, you know what I mean? So it was that time where you want to be like cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to say like I would do that now, but you know, at the time I was like, hey, so, but that was fine to like, you know, own my sexuality. I think the problem really for me was the dichotomy of what was going on behind the scenes that people did not see. And
what was going on behind the scenes?
Everything could be pushed on us that you can fathom. Mm. So from girls having to vomit their food, to girls being on pills, to sexual advances, to abortions, you name it.
Really?
And for me, I just could not continue this narrative of caution, this is a lie for young girls mm-hmm. that look at that and mm-hmm. think it's their truth because they'll want to be you. And I wanted to be the Spice Girl. So I'm like, you know, going like, I want to do that. I want to be that. But then you have to have a reckoning where, what am I doing?
What am I doing? What image am I putting out?
That I'm giving to a young child. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So who, looking at that, going, I want to be that.
Who is pushing this? Is this, are we talking about producers, the industry?
Just a den mother from hell.
A den mother from hell, really?
Really.
And it's supposed to be about girl empowerment, right? You guys were supposed to be the new girl empowerment group.
Yeah, we were not empowered. We were a bunch of fingers trying to do stuff. We weren't a fist.
Mm-hmm. Wow, great way to put
it. No, it's true. Yeah. They divided us very well. So we were never a unit.
And was that was the strategy? Keep you a little separate, divided?
I think so.
Yeah, keep you in fear.
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
Do you think there were other conservatives in the group? Do you think that...
Yeah, one of, you know, my best friend was Nicole. She, she changed.
Wow.
Fame changes people. You know, it's like you stand in the ocean and the waves come in, and so you're never in the exact same spot.
Yeah.
The sand moves. So sometimes it's only like a couple inches, and sometimes it's like you're out there.
And you won't even notice.
And you won't even notice. And I didn't recognize who she became. Honestly, I was embarrassed for her. And when I left, I remember whispering that into her, you're better than this.
Mm. Was there a moment for you that came, you're looking around and you think, this isn't what I signed up for, the things have changed around me? What's that moment?
That moment was Divas Live, MGM Grand Garden Arena. We were performing and Patti LaBelle's wailing on stage and we're coming underneath the stage and I'm being told, you know, and I'm in a little itty bitty outfit and I was like literally 30 pounds, 40 pounds thinner than I am now.
Wow.
And I was
forcibly.
Because I barely ate. You know, I didn't want to vomit my food and I didn't want to take drugs. So
how selfish of you.
I barely ate. But you know, thank God for Kim Kardashian and women that actually have a body to actually say, okay, like, you know, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was being told how fat I was under the stage and I looked like I had pizza sewn onto my, you know, my ass. And
that's what they told you.
Well, that's what Robin told me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Before I went onto stage because she was no longer... they didn't want her on stage anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So her control was to insult us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're coming through the aisle, myself and Melody, and the other girls are coming up on a riser.
Yeah.
And I get to the front of the aisle, and there's these two little girls in the front row. And one had to have been maybe 4 or 5, and the sister had to have been like maybe 8 or 9.
Wow, so young.
Really young. And the youngest one goes, oh, she was just so excited.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do this.
Said, you don't know the half of it, kid.
I don't know what's happening.
It was
so cinematic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're like in this awesome arena.
Right.
It's what you fought for.
It's supposed to be your dream.
It is your dream. It's what you wanted to do all your life. Your whole life. It is your dream. There's 25,000 people in house. You're going live to 23 million households.
It doesn't get bigger. You guys were the best selling.
They were the number one selling
for that moment.
For that moment. And you guys were making millions of dollars for other people.
Yeah, we didn't make any of that.
But somebody made money on your backs. No, you made $500 a week.
I get my paycheck stubs if anyone really wants to know.
Now, what happened? I thought in Hollywood we're preening, we're left wingers. We need to share the wealth and spread it around. Yeah. Not so in the actual industry.
Not so. I mean, honestly, I think if the Better Business Bureau heard about it, it's actually illegal, some of the stuff that's been done, truthfully. Yeah.
So,
and, you know, in the industry, quite honestly, I've always been independent, so my story is different. But knowing there's so many young people on sets, and this is what angers me because I grew up modeling. So I was 12, 13. I got into modeling. So there's nobody there. Thank God I had a mom and a dad who protected me and would come to me and would chaperone. I have an older brother. Mm-hmm. But there's nobody there making sure that these children on set are getting fed,
are getting water, are not getting molested. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's like they treat you like you're an adult from the get-go.
So because you're working.
You're working.
You've got a job.
You're
a body. You're 5 years
they
old.
They put the clothes on. You know, you're a body. That's all you are. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if it wasn't for my belief in God and my strong family values, I would have gone down a dark path because it's so easy. Mm-hmm. And it's encouraged.
So you've always believed in God. Were you always a conservative?
I was always a conservative. My story's funny because I grew up hardcore conservative, Republican, Christian, and my dad's a minister. My dad passed away, but he was a reverend, a minister, a Christian minister. My mom was a gospel singer. So our family was all
pretty
about
solid
singing.
Foundation.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, my mom's Black and Choctaw Native American, and my dad is Italian.
I could tell. That's why we get along so well.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, you guys have been talking. Okay.
Loud, super noisy, and super fun. But you know, being a conservative in Hollywood, I always knew I wanted to be an actress, a singer, a dancer, a model, fashion mogul. I wanted to be Oprah. Mm-hmm. I want to have the whole thing.
I'm still trying to be Oprah. I'm doing my best.
You're doing your best. Yeah. You're
We're there. All trying to be Oprah.
Oprah's the top of the pinnacle. But a conservative version. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have that yet. So for me, I knew I was going to be in this industry. But from the beginning, my first email address was actressforjesus@yahoo.com.
Wow.
And I got hate calls. Constantly. Don't you know that you can't have a Christian faith in this industry? People would just call me.
These are industry.
Because my number and everything would be on my resume. These are industry people. They would email me hate messages. So I was like 13, 14 years old. I was like, all right, okay, this is how it is. I don't really care. I laughed at it. But it starts to wear you down. And by the time I got to be 17, 18, 19, 20, you want to be with the cool kids now. You're really trying to make it. You're trying to make something happen. I lost a lot of my conservative values. Mm. And I didn't necessarily backtrack on my personal values. I just didn't talk about it anymore.
Publicly, you go, you know, I remember this.
I changed my email. I changed the way I spoke. I just pretended like, okay, yeah, you guys have your liberal views. I'm just going to, you know, act like I'm a part of that group, even though secretly I'm kind of dying right now because you guys are disrespecting my faith, all faiths, disrespecting, you know, any decency, any abstract thought, any difference of opinion, any conservative values, any traditional values. In Hollywood, they hate a lot of families. They hate the traditionalist view, where we really put our faith in that. And we really say, no, it's okay if you want to be a mom, to be a mom, to be a dad, to be a dad, and to have your career. And we don't look at single moms or mothers who choose to stay at home as something bad. But they say, no, you have to be out there and forget about the kids.
Why is that? What is it about this town that makes them give girls eating disorders and take their money and run them ragged and knock you for your Christianity and say you won't work in this town again if you believe in Jesus? What is it about Hollywood?
I think, in my opinion, I think a lot of it has to do with the pressures. I mean, you know, whether you're in front or behind the camera, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of money at stake. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of intensity, and everyone has pressure to make sure you're number one, whether it's a number one song, the number one show, the number one film. There is a tense amount of pressure, which we know anything fear-based is not of God. So
great way to put
when
it.
You have that amount of pressure, you can't help but every fear starts to rise.
Of course. Right. This is going to be my last show. This
is going to be my last moment. Yeah. We were just talking about it before we started.
That's
you know what I mean? It is one of those things where you're always so grateful. And when you're really new to it, you're just like, well, this is my stepping stone. This is my stepping stone.
This is my moment.
This is the break.
This is the break. This is the moment. And so you just follow what you're being given. But at the same time, I think a lot of the pressure comes from we're filling quotas, right? Mm-hmm. You got to be this. And there's a box
you gotta
for that.
You got to be what they want.
Well, it's a quota. Mm-hmm. And of course, these are all failed performers. That are saying
almost
this.
Entirely, not to
in the music producers. Industry. In the music industry, I say that
in film too. A lot of times, you see it's people who try to be an actor, try
and
to be a director.
I'll tell you, I was on set. I worked on Heroes. That was my first big break.
Yeah.
So I was booked on the whole season 4 of Heroes. A lot of people would see me every Monday. Say, I saw you on TV. So I was part of the little ragtag crew, and it was really cool. And that was my big break. And it was the same thing, like you're saying, like. You want opportunities so bad, so you're willing to, okay, fine, they can treat me like this. Okay, fine, I won't speak up because I might lose this opportunity. And you've given so much. You work so hard. You've spent so much money. It's very expensive to start up a career. And for me, though, I was at that point that I was just starting to break into acting, but I was doing my music, and this director comes on set, and it's raining, okay? It's raining. It's cold. We're in the lot. And we're shooting a really difficult scene that this is probably hour 18 on set. And the director starts screaming at everyone, get over here, get your damn stuff. What? He's just being rude. He's being impossible. So I was like, okay, I've been in the rain, you know, we've got the select stars that are in the tent, in the trailer, but the rest of us are here.
That's right.
I was like, okay. I looked at him, I said, hey, and I was like a small time actor on the set. I wasn't one of the big time guys. I said, hey, excuse me, be nice. And he just...
It's the first time anyone ever told him that.
Nobody said that to him. So you see the wheels turning, and he just goes, okay.
Wow.
And stops yelling.
Really?
And that's when I realized the power in this industry is to be nice, is to be kind, is to be respectful. And from that moment on, I started taking notes. Who's treating me respectfully, and who do I actually want to work with in the future? Mm-hmm. Because one day I will have power in this industry.
Because it's all relationships anyway.
It's all relationships. It is. And that changed my life forever. I went back into being super hardcore conservative after that.
Now, speaking of those relationships, you made a bet at the Grammys. You made this bet. You said, I'm going to wear this dress. Yeah. It might destroy my career. It might it might not, but I'm going to do it. This is what I think. Yeah. And it didn't. You shoot to number one. You have this. It really works out.
Yeah.
When you leave the Pussycat Dolls, you're making a bet. You're saying, I can't take this anymore. I'm not going to choose to live my life this way. Has your politics hurt your career?
Well, right away, I had a gag order. You know? Right away. Mm-hmm. And I had to wait out time, and luckily some things happened with the group that allowed me then. I was free and clear. And I went to Europe and did EDM. And I was lucky enough that I had success with my first solo single from, you know, being in Europe, because the first one was Hollywood Doll, and then right after that was Take It Off, which was Data Life, DJ Reggie, Dimitri Vegas, Like Mike. So I worked with all these guys, came home and was like, I worked with all these people. And everyone's like, who? And of course they're all at like residencies at Hawkasaw now. Everyone's like, oh my God, what was the night you were like, Dimitri Vegas?
But you had to go out. You had to leave the country.
I had to leave the country. And so this is majority of my career has been in EDM and doing all of that.
Because you've had these successful albums, Confessions of a Hollywood Doll.
Yeah, all the Europe stuff in Asia, Africa, India, all of that. Mm-hmm. And then
they're a little more forgiving over there. Because I toured there and had more success there before people knew who I was out here.
They really, really are. And coming back to America, focusing on that, I've been doing some education reform stuff, working on stuff with science side of the fence that people are going to see next year. And just was focusing on starting a record company and working on that kind of stuff and back end and strengthening what I was about. This, you know, moment of her wearing the dress, a lot of people, if they don't know, is that I was on the carpet not far away from her.
You were?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yes. That was our third Grammys we had done together.
Yeah. We're both voting members of the Academy and part of, like, you know, she's part of the advocacy here, but I do advocacy in Las Vegas, both LA chapter. But, so... It was a moment, and so...
So you're seeing it happen live. You're watching the reaction right there.
I actually had the best angle possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Andre is also a friend who designed the dress.
Andre Soriano.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
he's a gay Filipino immigrant who loves Trump.
Yep.
The classic Republican vote.
Exactly.
Gay Filipino immigrant.
He's amazing, though.
One of many, obviously.
And that's why it was so special, because it couldn't have happened any other way.
Yeah.
They see this narrative of what is their, you know, we're all about... the minority. Well, you know, with her beautiful fro, the flower in her hair, body on point, the dress was like, right. So they look at her, and I knew, like, honestly, immediately, it's a disconnect. So they're going to then pay even more attention than it was on anyone else. It would never have worked any other way.
Mm-hmm. It triggered a lot of people.
Yeah, it did. It triggered
a
lot.
I didn't expect that. I really didn't expect that.
No, I know, but, like, it was amazing.
Reaction. I'll tell you, when I did it, too, it was really just... I don't want to be stifled anymore. I don't want to be closeted anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, when Madonna said she wants to blow up the White House, I was like, are you kidding me? This is okay now?
And she would never get in trouble for that.
Never.
You'd never get in trouble for that.
Never.
No, even though it's the people's house. It doesn't belong to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, it belongs to you and me and all of us as Americans more than, you know.
Yep. And
more,
if you want him to fail, you want America to fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really the important thing.
It's our pilot.
I said, listen, we're not campaigning anymore. He's the president.
Yeah.
So you have to respect that.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with everything he does. I always say that to my fan base. I do a lot of live Periscope chats and Facebook Lives and do a lot of stuff. And I say, listen, you don't have to agree with my politics, but you will respect them. And I'll give you that same respect. Mm-hmm. Not a safe space, but a respect
space. It's totally missing now. You know, this just came out. I think it's at Harvard. They've renamed safe spaces into brave spaces.
They're
where you can bravely pet little puppies and color in coloring books and things like
that.
Hang
in their baby kids. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
But
and this is our next generation of leaders, thinkers, scientists,
God forbid,
producers.
God forbid that it's them.
They're being coddled like babies.
You just said that you'll respect someone else's opinion. Even
absolutely.
If they
disagree. Yeah.
It seems that that's true across the right, with some exception, but generally the right, it seems to me, understands the left and respects their right to spout idiocies.
Right.
But it isn't true the other way.
No,
the left
it's not.
Doesn't, they try to get us fired. Because it's feeling-based.
And you know what? It's feelings, not facts. And they don't
I know
don't
a guy who says
community.
That. He's up in Berkeley right now. Yeah.
They don't really. I hope he comes back okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we're praying for you, Ben. That selfie I took with him in the makeup booth might be the last picture.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, God forbid, you know.
Goodness.
No, you're right, though. I mean,
they don't really want unity. Because unity says, okay, you can share your space. You can say what you say, and I'm going to say what I say. And we've had to cow down for the last 8 years under Obama. We've had to be so respectful and so walking on eggshells and so nice, because if you say anything, you're racist.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Anything. Yeah. And now we can finally rejoice and be happy, and yet they come down 10 times harder on us for even saying, hey, make America great again.
That's offensive.
I can't believe
equivalent to the Nazi symbol.
It's not even a new line. Reagan used it. Nixon used it.
Yes.
It's been around. It's
I
a
think
simple
JFK
line.
Used it?
It's been around forever, and it's a basic statement. Let's make America great again.
Exactly.
What is more hopeful than that?
Oh no, they say you guys are white supremacists.
Yeah. Or even
especially
or even
you.
Now,
especially
the,
you.
Me. I'm a black white supremacist.
Oh yeah, that's
Ben Carson.
Yeah.
Just like many of you.
That's like Ben is a Jewish Nazi.
Oh yeah.
And I'm a white black supremacist.
My mom is Jamaican. I'm quarter black, a bunch of other stuff on that other quarter, and then 50% Native American.
And you're also, I presume, a white supremacist.
I want to put a first brick or solar panel, and I keep saying that. I'm not kidding, because I'm Native. I'm all about it. So please, let's go.
But what we have in common is we all believe in supremacies.
That's the one thing that really... In 2017, that's what you know.
Can't
we all get along?
Great against supremacists.
Yeah, there it is.
MAGA supremacists.
American exceptional supremacy.
Yes.
Okay, I could talk to you both all day.
Yes.
But we need to bring in our other friend.
We need to bring in,
we have right now, Antonia Okafor is going to come to us from some remote location. Antonia is the person who actually introduced the three of us.
Yeah.
But I know, listen, guys, I know if you're watching this right now on Facebook and YouTube, you want to watch. You've got Antonia Okafor, for goodness sake.
That's right.
But you can't unless you go to dailywire.com right now. It is just $10 a month, $100 a year. You get me. You get the Andrew Klavan show. Hopefully after Berkeley, you'll still get the Ben Shapiro show, knock on wood. But forget all of that. What you'll really get is the Leftist Tears Tumblr. Oh, my gosh. Look at this thing.
So sexy.
I want one.
This is the finest vessel for leftist tears in the entire country.
It'll outlast us all.
It will outlast the nuclear holocaust or the Berkeley chaos, whichever comes first.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do, you can go to your leftist friends, you can play Joy's MAGA song with the dress, and then you can just collect all of the tears in this delicious tumbler. So go over there right now, dailywire.com. We'll be right back. So, Antonia, thank you for coming. We need to talk about some serious and important news. The Harvard Institute of Politics has named Chelsea Manning a visiting fellow for the 2017 to 2018 school year. Former CIA Director Michael Morell has announced his resignation as a senior fellow at Harvard in response to the fellowship. The Harvard announcement reads, quote, "She speaks on the social, technological, and economic ramifications of artificial intelligence. As a trans woman, she advocates for queer and transgender rights. As XYZ Chelsea on Twitter," there's been no mention, by the way, in the announcement of Chelsea's conviction for espionage and aiding the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Antonia, is Harvard just virtue signaling here? Would they have picked him if he were not identifying as a woman? Or does Harvard welcome traitors of all gender varieties?
Well, I think they felt like it was balanced, right? Because they had Sean Spicer as well on there too. So they're like, oh, and I'm looking at the comments too on Twitter, and people are like, oh, I would not have been able to stand having Sean there if it wasn't for at least Chelsea being part there to help the board. So I'm like, okay, all right, okay, guys, let's calm down. She is fine. Sean is fine as well, and let's just make America great again by having both of them together in Harvard, okay?
Let's make America great again, and as always, ignore Harvard. I agree.
Always.
With you.
Well, exactly. So, yeah, it's Harvard. The only thing, too, is that I'm kind of like rethinking my whole going to law school at Harvard thing. I'm just like, I could just be a fellow and
that's
have
true.
A Harvard thing.
All you need to do is steal documents from the United States government, leak them to our enemies, and you might be able to go for free. Kaya, do you think that this is just a publicity stunt? Or do you, I mean, Chelsea Manning doesn't appear to have any particular expertise. You don't think it's a publicity stunt?
I think it's a combination. I do think it's a bit of, you know, it's going to get attention. Mm-hmm. So that's the goal. I mean, you know, they want to be on the front of every paper. And so however you can push the narrative to get the attention, I think, because they're out of control and they're not in power and they're not going to be. So you got to let it go, man.
Absolutely. We're giving them too much attention as it is. Yes. I agree. Mm-hmm. All right, moving
can
on.
Can I just say what
please,
I think about
yeah,
it?
Joy.
I think
tell me.
Absolutely disgusting and appalling, okay? She is a traitor to the United States. She sold secrets. She's been through prison for this, okay? She's not who she says she is. She's not sunshine and rainbows, even though she likes to use a lot of emojis and act like, oh, I'm on the cover of Vogue or I'm in Vogue magazine. I'm just a normal girl. No, you're not. You're a convicted criminal.
You're a traitor.
And I don't think you should be getting props or be given Harvard Excellence Awards when you are a traitor to the United States. So to me, Harvard, I got no love for you.
That's preach, Joy.
Right there. Nail in the coffin.
That was just like a whole like Hurricane Katrina.
That was
my
right there, and I was sitting right beside her.
I couldn't agree more. It says a lot about our universities right now. Yeah. That's what they do. They find the nearest traitor. They find the person who most disparages the country, and they say, hey, as long as you also match some other intersectional criteria, come on and we'll give you a free fellowship. Exactly. Absolutely right. Couldn't agree more. Now we need to stop talking about Harvard. President Trump had another meeting with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Bum, bum, bum. Mm. Then he tweeted out, quote, does anybody really want to throw out good, educated, and accomplished young people who have jobs, some serving in the military? Really? The president's Republican critics are now saying, I told you so. Joy, you're on the Campaign Advisory Council.
Yes, I am.
Always want to give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt because I love the guy and it's very covfefe. Is this what we all fear? Is this the leftward turn?
No. I'll say this because
all right,
I
good.
Have full...
That's fine.
Yeah.
No, sorry, that's go on.
No. I have full faith in our president. You know, we elected someone who wrote The Art of the Deal. So he knows what he's doing. He knows how to sort of play, as we say, 4D chess. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Nancy Pelosi already tweeted and already posted this like it's a done deal, we're working together, and the president's like, no, I said that we'll look into some things. He had to say that to Fox News this morning while he's on the grounds in Florida helping out. By the way, Nancy, mm-hmm. where are you? Where's your money going to help the victims from the hurricane? Ooh. And he had to say, no, listen, we're talking about it. There's no done deal. So, I mean, I think the tweets can be taken, you know, sort of, he tweets a lot in the spur of the moment. I don't think that this is the end of our Republican era. I don't think our president is gone away from being a populist, as he really is. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's going to be fair in his DACA dealings because he knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm.
That is great. And I should point out, both of you, Kaya and Joy, you've raised like $3 million for the hurricane victims. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we have.
We went down, like, we started, it was my birthday. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, songs that are released on the charts, and it just felt right to, instead of promoting our music, maybe we ask our fans to do the right thing in this moment, because my birthday was on the Monday from the storm.
Happy birthday.
And it was not a happy birthday week or day. It was horrible, and it made me and her really sad, and we're like, you know, what can we do? We went to our Periscope. In 8 hours, we'd raised over $250,000.
Yeah.
And the charity was letting us know. And so we were just kind of like, you know what? Why don't we keep going?
Keep it going, mm-hmm. Let's see how much we can get out of this.
How about we go there?
Yes.
What if we put everyone on blast? And we did. And the only other person at the time, other than Sandra Bullock and Kevin Hart, was mm-hmm. J.J. Watts. That was it at the time. So we went ahead and we were like, okay, let's get down there. Beyonce wasn't there. I know she's there now, but Houston, Texas, baby, that's your hometown. Mm-hmm. It made you millions of dollars.
My cousin,
so,
she took a long
time.
Now
they're all doing the concerts. Everybody's
the hand
there.
In hand,
we
the
were
phone
there.
Phones,
when, yeah. Yeah, I was there 2 days before Joy, and then Joy arrives. And I, no lie, I mean, I was in water area seeing what was going on, and it was atrocious.
It was,
and it was scary, and it was heartfelt because you saw the communities coming together, even though they were in real devastation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when we felt it was the right time to go. Now it's kind of like we're now moving on to Florida.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. They're still rebuilding a lot.
They are rebuilding, and I'm really grateful.
But it would have been great
if
they would have came out there when.
But they should have showed up right away,
yeah,
because
mm-hmm.
then
the
you have disease that gets in that water. You have things that you know,
right.
it's, you've got to move action, action, action.
So, Antonia, is that it? Is it President Trump? He's in Florida. He's got his mind on other things. He's not really focused on this DACA stuff, and we should not worry that the president's becoming a Democrat?
Absolutely. I think it's really shady that they would do that in the first place. In fact, they should get some type of, you know, repercussion for that. I mean, I'm sure that that's why he had to do the whole Twitter storm in the morning for us to set things straight. But I think it also shows why Twitter is so important. People will continue to say, oh, he should just close his account or whatever. We don't need that. And that's other conservatives and Republicans. And I've always said, even as a journalist, I'm like, no, first of all, we get access to the source himself. And that's
right.
a powerful thing for the American people. I think that's what he ran on is, you know, he's for the people, you know, as a conservative,
and
as
he can
a
cut
populist.
Through the media.
That's right.
He can cut the media. And that's why stuff like this is why it's important when they put out direct lies, just absolute lies. And they knew that him going back on it or anything like that was going to make it actually worse for him. But I think we see through that this time. But I'm sure the people who already hated him are going to hate him. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about
it? That's just what's going to happen. What can you say about it?
More haterade.
So we now, usually I do the mailbag all on my own. Usually I just give you, I find pearls of wisdom. I spin them out all on my own. But today I want to keep all of the ladies around. I pretty much only have this podcast so that I can hang around with beautiful women. So let's keep them around for the mailbag, and I think they'll help us answer
mailbag.
Some questions.
You mean the female bag?
the female bag.
Boom, baby, bam.
Boo. Okay, first question from John. Greetings, King Trollio. Thank you for using my proper title. There are a lot of shows and movies that I'm not really interested in based on the amount of swearing, violence, sex, and nudity. That's the only reason I watch movies. What are you doing?
Well, that's the best part.
However, there are also a lot of shows that are awesome, but throw in these same elements with no benefit or impact on plot or character. Should people be able to edit out the content that they find objectionable? Should a company be able to sell their services to do it for you? And finally, do you feel this is worthwhile? Thanks, John. Mm. Let's start with the big artists in the room and see what they think. Kaya.
Oh. Wow, I really don't
should
care.
People, you don't care if they edit your material, you don't care if they take out the bad words?
It depends if it pushes the storyline. I mean, do we have to say, you know, does it have to be a curse word? Not necessarily, but I mean, sometimes it kind of does because it punches through. I personally, it doesn't offend me to that degree. What I don't like is violence to a heavy measure. Mm. That bothers me more than a curse word. So that's just my, you know, that's my view.
Joy, what do you think?
Well, I think it's censorship. I don't think you should be doing that at all. Listen, mm-hmm. we already release edited versions of our music, right? I personally don't cuss in my music, but if I did, I would release an edited version. But if you start editing, you know, for the radio, mm-hmm. that's the FCC. But if you start editing movies and TV and start cutting it out, I mean, there's a reason we have rating systems. We have G and PG films. If any of these things offend you, and quite honestly, they're in real life, so you're gonna come across something offensive no matter where you are. But if these things offend you, stick to the things that are G-rated, PG-rated. You know, that might be more your style. But, you know, for me, I don't want censorship. I'm on the other end. I'm like, make it more free. Mm-hmm. Let me use my voice. Let me say what I want. And let me tell my story without you trying to tell me what I should and shouldn't say.
I do think very often conservatives shy away from things that are a little naughty or violent mm-hmm. or what have you.
Right.
And if the art is worth consuming, if the play is worth watching or the music's worth listening to or the book is worth reading, the human condition can be pretty nasty and brutish and rough. So if it expresses that in a way that's artistic and truthful, then you ought to keep it in there. You shouldn't be trying to make the human condition more shallow. Yeah. And if it's just some nonsense with a lot of naughty words and nudity and doesn't do anything, then ignore it. It's probably
not. It's gratuitous. It probably shouldn't be in there in the beginning.
That's right.
I also...
I'm sorry. Oh, Antonia, I'm sorry. Move on.
Sorry. I was going to say, money talks, though, you know, just like anything, right? If people are hungry for something that's more PG or whatever, people are tired of, you know, the nudity and the cursing and everything, and it's not selling anymore, then Hollywood's going to respond. I just, like everything, it's money. Just like these two beautiful women, you know, people are going to respond to them because they want more people like them. On the silver screen. So I think that's what it comes down to.
All I'm doing is responding. I totally agree. Money talks. Money is speech. From Michael.
Speech.
That is a great point. People don't realize that, but money is speech. From Michael. Dear Michael Knowles, do you believe there's a place for atheists in the modern conservative movement in general and the Republican Party specifically, or will conservative ideas survive only if they are supported somehow by religious teachings? Mm-hmm. I really think this is an important topic as fewer people subscribe to organized religion, and I don't think we should concede non-religious votes any more than we should the votes of certain minorities the left thinks belongs to them. Thank you. Mm. I think all of us here have a strong opinion on faith. Antonia, what do you think?
You know, as a person of faith, I'm a Christian, born-again Christian. I absolutely would love for all of society to be born-again Christians and follow that, you know, doctrine. But let's just be honest here. Even in conservatism, there are a lot of people who, well, they're conservative and you just automatically think, oh, you're a Christian or you're a person of faith. But then you actually get to hear what they're saying and some of them will be outright, you know, I don't believe in a God. But they still believe in conservative values and even more so the Judeo-Christian beliefs that should go with it, even though personally themselves, they don't believe in it. Mm-hmm. So I think there is a place because people have been doing that already. Maybe they don't say it out loud, but they personally in their own lives are not going to, you know, follow those doctrines in their lives. But they believe that in general, all people should have that mm-hmm. and as a go-to. So I think it's
Kaya,
happening.
What do you think?
I think it's a tough, for me, I'm a Christian, so it's hard for me to say that, you know, it's hard to hear that they're conservatives that don't have a faith in general.
Like, it doesn't make sense to you.
It doesn't because I love science and I love my religion and I do believe they can coexist. I mean, you look at the mountains and you look at the sky and you look at incredible moments throughout history. I mean,
a Catholic priest discovered the Big Bang. A lot of people don't know that, but faith and science go together.
They do go together.
Closely.
People really, they don't ever place them together, but they do go together. And so I just have a hard time when I hear someone that doesn't believe in anything at all. I actually would like them to stay in the conservative narrative because I hope one day they get to experience what feeling movement of God in your life is like. So I think if we push them away, there's no way to, you know, affect their life in a positive way. And maybe if they're closer, you know, that could rub off on them or they could see, hey, wait, maybe there is something I'm not paying attention mm-hmm. to.
Everybody's got to serve somebody. Joy, what's your take?
Well, for me, I think it's relationship over religion. So I'm always someone who doesn't, I don't think you should believe the same way I do. I don't think you should vote the same way I do. I don't think you should look the same way I do. So me, I have a very protective view on people's thoughts and opinions. I'm more of the type that says, listen, if you're an atheist and you're conservative, more power to you. You can believe in whatever you want and practice your conservative beliefs and traditional values because it's about values. Mm-hmm. The thing that most religious people, Christians and all different religions share is that we have values. We respect each other as humans. We know good from bad. We don't want to hurt others. We want to help. We believe in helping, you know, the poor and the destitute and bringing up the successful to be more mm-hmm. successful. Right. So if you're an atheist and those are your values, you're welcome aboard. I don't care if you believe in God or don't. I can see eye to eye with anybody.
I agree with Andrew Klavan on this. I agree with what you've all said. And I agree specifically with Andrew Klavan, who says you can be a conservative and an atheist, but you won't make sense. But you can do it. You should do it. You should vote for conservatives and Republicans. Yeah. But it doesn't totally make sense because everybody has to serve somebody. I'm a Christian and specifically a Catholic because I think it's true. I think it's the true thing. I wouldn't believe it if I didn't think it weren't true. And I think the arguments for God are a lot stronger than the handful of arguments against God.
Amen.
I think Jesus is who he says he is. I think the arguments for Jesus are a lot better than the arguments against Jesus. Yeah. And I think that a lot of what conservatism is, which is rooted in Western civilization and the protection of tradition and human dignity and ordered liberty, makes sense only through a Christian view of the world, or a Judeo-Christian view of the world, as we call it in America. So if you're an atheist, if you're a Randian, if you're whatever, and you vote for conservatives, be my guest, come on board. It's a big open tent. But you should also think about your views, because I think it makes a lot more sense if God exists. Now, enough about all these minor questions about God and religion and all these things.
That's small talk.
It's small talk. We got to talk. I got the next two questions are much more urgent to people's daily lives. From Shahar: Ho, Michael, the Lord with no words. I am about to start university soon, and I wanted to ask you how to deal with the ladies. How to deal with the ladies. I am only 19. And that makes me one of the youngest people in the school. I'm in Israel, and people my age go to the army. Plus, I never dealt with girls before because of a very religious family. I am no longer religious. That's too bad. Go back to that. And I have a physical disability. Help. Then the next question is from Matt. Dear King Troll, hi-ho. I'm 25 years old, have a full-time job, a 401k, go to the gym every day. Overall, am not that ugly. That being said, I have a serious problem talking to the ladies. I've never been graceful when it comes to talking to the ladies. I don't know why, but this is the one area in my life I lack confidence in. I know a gorgeous man like yourself, you have good taste, man, probably never had this problem, but what would your advice be to me to get over this stupid fear I have? Love the show, Matt.
Wow.
I am going to let the ladies take this one first. Antonia, what do you think?
Oh, man. I think it's funny because I was looking at the PragerU video that was released with Matt Walsh and talking about confidence and self-esteem, right? And how this is a farce and a make-believe concept growing up. And I think it is confidence, right? It's confidence. And confidence, the difference in confidence and self-esteem is that confidence is earned, right? It's based on accomplishments. So remember the things that you've done. Remember also, going back to faith again, that God has made you in his image, and therefore you already have worth already. That's it. And that someone's going to see that. So I think that's my advice to you, is remember who you are through Christ, and God has that person for you. So keep going.
Kaya.
I love what, you know, Antonia just said. I mean, it's true. We date our self-esteem. So I would definitely say, think about who you look up to if you're a guy. Like, you have your favorite actor, you have someone that you watch, or maybe it's your father, maybe it's your brother, there's someone. And maybe start to emulate in your mind the value of what you see your future self being. Reflect that in here, because that will give you confidence. And it is mental. So believe it to achieve it, and suck it up and go talk to her. Compliments are everything to women. As Chris Rock has said, food, water, compliments. So
true.
Compliment her, say hello, know when to just stop talking, don't stutter. Even if you just go up and say, hi, you know, you look beautiful today. That's it. Keep it moving. But confidence.
Joy, how does a guy land, Joy Villa?
Well, I'm already married.
Ah, sad. Sorry, man.
Landed.
Sorry,
woo. Too bad. Yes. But I would say I definitely agree with these gorgeous ladies. What they've said is confidence is key. And also the way you present yourself. So when I was not married, when I was dating, I would look at a guy, the way he dressed, the way he came off. Was he looking me in the eyes? Was he saying, hi, what's your name? Or was he just, hey, can I buy you a drink? Or did he look nervous? Did he seem creepy? So you have to come off as yourself, but a better version of yourself. So practice in front of the mirror, take some speech classes, learn how to be confident, and compliment and talk to anyone anytime. And a lot of guys tell me, yeah, but women don't like to be harassed. No, forget about it. Every woman is hoping a Prince Charming walk up to her, be polite, be respectful. If she doesn't show interest, then leave it alone. But if she's talking to you and smiling, you know, then just be a friend to her and then go for it. Ask her out. Ask for that date. All you can get is a no.
My advice is best summed up, I think, by the Godfather, Don Corleone.
The main character. A guy just like me, I wouldn't even have to act, just be myself. Oh, Godfather, I don't know what to do. You can act like a man!
You're gonna act like a man. What's the matter with you? Absolutely right. These lovely ladies have summed it up very well, unsurprisingly. You got to be confident, and the way to be confident is you have to play to your strengths. So back in the old days, before I was engaged to sweet little Elisa, I would, you know, I might talk to a couple ladies every now and again, and a guy like me, not a hulking football player, not the most physically intimidating guy, I might not do as well in a nightclub as Don Corleone, let's say. But I might do a little bit better at a place where I can speak or something like that. You got to play to your strengths a little bit. You got to really own who you are. Yeah. You don't want to be cocky. You don't want to be wimpy. You just really have to put yourself out as you are. Be comfortable, and then you'll be confident. And, you know, we're talking about picking up girls. When I was in high school, if you were not on the football team, the best way to pick up a girl, probably the only way to pick up a girl, is to learn how to play the acoustic guitar. That's the way to do it. Right?
Yeah.
And I thought, we're going to do a final thought today, but I want to scrap it. I have these lovely ladies in here. I would like to do something more fun. I probably have not really played guitar since high school, but I brought one in.
No way!
I did. I brought in a guitar and I brought in a little harmonica.
Oh wow!
So I'd like if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to maybe close the show on an acoustic live version of "Make America Great Again."
Oh my god!
Would that be all right?
Would you
sing
that?
Would you join in?
What a great idea! Okay. All right. What a surprise!
I am gonna grab the guitar.
Okay.
Let's see. It's like I have braces or something. You know?
Can you
sing on? Okay.
Antonio, you gotta
sing on Skype. Okay, so let's see.
This is going to be fun.
It's been a little while since I've played guitar.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to turn the microphone down here toward the guitar.
Yeah. Ooh, got regular Bob Dylan over here.
So nice. We'll take it kind of slow like the song?
Perfect,
okay,
yeah.
All right.
Kind of groove.
Well, let's see. I've been practicing this for like 3 hours now, so I hope it's okay.
Like we've lost our way. The lies that we've been told have put our dreams on hold. And you know, if we don't watch out, we could all go under and drown. Yeah, the future depends on us, so we gotta wake up, gotta shake it up now, and let's make America great again. We can come back twice as strong. Oh, we can still be the hope of every hungry child. Be the sound of every freedom song. Yes, my dear, we can.
I haven't played the guitar since I was in high school.
You are too kind. You're flattering beautiful. Me.
No, we're not. And you play the harmonica. I mean, that's some serious stuff right there. We're musicians.
So you guys got to stop. I have to work with
really
this guy.
Sweet. If I weren't so tan, I would turn red. That is our show. I'm Michael Knowles. This is the Michael Knowles Show. Thanks for coming.
Thanks,
come back
Michael.
On Monday, and we'll see you then.
Thanks, Antonio.
This show is brought to you by Helix Sleep. Sleep, especially as you get older, is so critical, but no two people sleep alike. That's why Helix offers several different mattress models, each designed for specific sleep positions and preferences. Go to helixsleep.com/dailywire and take their sleep quiz to find the mattress made for you. Whether you're a side sleeper, a stomach sleeper, a hot sleeper, or a cold sleeper, Helix has just the mattress for you. I took the Helix sleep quiz and was matched with a Helix midnight mattress because I wanted a medium firmness and I sleep on my side. I am sleeping so much better on my new mattress. Don't want to take my word for it? Well, Helix has been awarded the #1 mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Take the quiz and order the perfect mattress right to your door, shipped for free. It's so quick and fun to unbox, and you won't believe how well you'll sleep. All Helix mattresses come with a 100-night trial and a 10 or 15-year warranty. Helix even offers financing options and flexible payment plans. A great night's sleep is never far away. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and a free bedroom bundle for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/dailywire and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. That's helixsleep.com/dailywire, code HELIXPARTNER20.